everyone. I'm excited to be here today to talk to you about Section 1557. I am coming to you from the Public Health Law Program at the CDC, and we are different than your typical group of lawyers because we are not suing anyone, we're not writing any kind of contracts. What we do is just evidence-based research around the ways that people are using law as a tool to improve the public's health. So what that looks like for us a lot of times is looking across all 50 states at a particular public health issue and then coding that data, and that can be used to evaluate the effectiveness of a law. But in this case, we're going to be talking about one specific law, and that's Section 1557 of the Affordable Care Act, which is the civil rights provision of the Affordable Care Act. First things first, we always come with one of these. I am a lawyer, but I am not your lawyer. I'm not providing legal advice here today. It's just for education. So why are we talking about civil rights? Let's start with health disparities. We all know that health disparities are a major issue in the United States today, whether it's health care disparities. So in that case, you know, we're talking about things like access to care and quality of care or insurance coverage. So for example, 82% of heterosexual adults have insurance coverage, just 77% of gay, lesbian, and bisexual adults do, and just 57% of transgender individuals do. We might also be talking about health disparities in terms of morbidity and mortality. So for example, we know that African Americans are much more likely to die of heart disease and stroke than any other racial group. So why discrimination? Now, I'm not saying that discrimination is the only cause of health disparities, but it is certainly a factor, and it can oftentimes be an aggravating factor. So if you're worried about potentially being discriminated against, then you're not going to seek care, or you're going to delay getting care, and that's going to lead to worse health outcomes and, in the long run, issues with productivity and income as well. So what do we do about it? Now, I'm not saying that Section 1557 is going to be the solution to discrimination in healthcare. It's an extremely complex issue. But what we have with this for the first time is a new tool. What Section 1557 does is adopts pre-existing civil rights laws that protect against discrimination on the basis of race, religion, sex, age, disability, and it applies it all specifically to the healthcare context. So, and by healthcare, I mean not just healthcare, but health programs, public health programs, insurance. It broadly applies all of these protections to this new environment. So what's new here? There's a lot that's new here, but in 5 minutes, I don't have very much time to go over it. So I would say the biggest addition is that this is actually the very first time that sex discrimination is explicitly prohibited in the health context. Okay, thank you. And where we're really seeing the needle be moved forward a little bit is that when HHS issued their regulations just a month ago, they've just come out, they define sex not only as a sex that you're born with, but also a person's internal sense of gender. So that means now a provider or a program cannot discriminate against a transgender individual and deny them care just because that's the type of care that's ordinarily available to one sex. So let me give you an example. What we saw is someone had filed a case with HHS, and it was a transgender woman who, at the recommendation of her doctor, had gotten a mammogram. The insurance company then refused to reimburse for that because that person's sex at birth was male. So this is the kind of thing that we're now going to be able to target, and we're seeing some movement forward, and that's why this provision matters. So, okay. So I'm running out of time, going quick here. So these are enforceable both in two places. One is through HHS's Office of Civil Rights. So you can file a complaint, they'll go in and investigate whether it's the hospital or come up with some kind of solution, or you can file a lawsuit in federal court. So what's missing, like I said, this is not a perfect provision. There are a lot of things missing. I'm happy to talk about other things that are in there, other things that are missing afterwards, but I think one of the biggest things is that sex is actually not defined as sexual orientation. So that doesn't mean that sex discrimination is not sexual orientation-based discrimination, but the argument's a little bit more difficult. So anyway, hopefully this will give you a perspective of ways you can use law to kind of target discrimination, which should ultimately have an impact on health disparities. So thank you.